Let's go ahead and build a very simple peer channel application. And the idea is to demonstrate the basics of really what all peer channel apps do at one level or another, so that when we look deeper at Buzzword Bingo, you don't have to try and grok the basics at the same time as you try to understand the nuances behind the Buzzword Bingo app. I'm going to basically recreate the exact same demo app that's part of the WCF samples, maybe change a couple names here and there, and certainly provide color commentary so that if you don't understand WCF or you're learning peer channel obviously for the first time, you can really focus on what's happening and why it's happening and not so much some of the other pieces and parts that may kind of get into your face if you just try and learn the code just by looking at it and if you're not familiar with things like WCF. So I'm in Visual Studio 2010. You can do this in 2008 as well, just as easily. I've already added the system.net and the system.service model namespaces to this project. And what we're going to do is start off by adding an interface. And I want to create a chat application. And what I want to do is define all of the operations from both a server side and a client side perspective that are available to any member of this peer channel mesh. So what I'm going to do is define an iPeer channel chat interface. Sounds good to me. A little long-winded maybe, but we'll run with that. We'll make this public. We'll go ahead and add our using system.service model namespace so we get all the WCF goodness available to us. And what we're going to do is define a service contract. And we will be good citizens here and go ahead and add a namespace. Probably not really needed. We could have gone with just the pre-canned default one, but we'll show kind of a good way to do this, and we'll just call this peer channel. So that's the namespace for this particular service contract. And the one interesting thing about a service contract that you want to use inside of the peer channel infrastructure is that it is duplex. And because it's duplex, I need to tell my service contract what the callback contract is. The nice thing about this, if you're not familiar at all with WCF and duplex communication, blah, 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 all you have to do here is always just set this to the interface that you're creating right now. So you can see it calls back to itself, essentially, which makes sense because all the clients are going to share the same operations across the entire mesh. And so what we'll do now is define the various methods, the various operations that we want to have available. So maybe a logon method, so you can announce that you're online. How about the obvious chat method? And as part of that, you'll send who you are, and we will also send along the actual message, obviously. And then we will have a log off method so you can tell people that you're leaving. All right? So those are the three main operations I want to have. So I need to define operation contracts on here. The interesting thing, again, about working with peer channel is when you define an operation contract, they all must have their is one way parameter set to true. So this isn't like a real true duplex style where I can have some kind of return value here. Every operation of a peer channel interface must have a return type of void. So we'll go ahead and just add these onto here. And this really defines the core set of interfaces. In reality, what it really is doing is defining the interfaces that have to be implemented by whatever class is going to act as, quote unquote, the server side part of the equation. So whoever implements iPeer channel chat, they need to implement methods to handle incoming logon operations, incoming chat operations, etc. To send messages, I need a an interface. We will call this, how about the iPeer channel chat client. Sounds good. Very long, but looks good. And what this does is it implements the iPeer channel chat interface because I need the same set of operations, but probably more importantly, it implements the WCF iClient channel interface. So that's provided by WCF. And we'll actually use the WCF infrastructure to provide us an instance of an object that automatically provides us iPeer channel chat client. And that means that we will have hanging off of that instance a log off chat and log on method. All right, let's go ahead and implement now the program that will use our peer channel. So my class program here will be responsible for processing incoming messages. So it's going to implement the iPeer channel interface. And I've already stubbed that out here. You can see this as it receives, a logon message. It's just going to write out, that someone joined, someone exited for log off, what they chatted, if they, send a chat message. Pretty straightforward. Little chunk of code here to get your name that you're going to use when you're communicating. And then what we'll do is start to set up the WCF infrastructure. So I'm going to create a WCF instance context. And what I basically am doing here Because I'm telling the WCF infrastructure, you know, who's going to be responsible for, you know, basically kind of hosting the WCF environment, processing messages, etc. So I'll just create a new instance of program. And now I want to be able to chat because my program application is going to process incoming messages, but I need a way to send those messages. So what we're going to do is use a duplex channel factory and use that to create an instance of an IPeer channel chat client. So we're going to say, you know, call that a factory, and then we'll create a new one. And what we will do on that constructor is a couple things. First thing is we're going to pass in the context, so it knows, you know, where the WCF infrastructure is, etc. Then we're going to pass in chat channel, and what that does is it points to, and I'll open it up real quickly, the app config file to the endpoint chat channel that we want to use. This also is used as an unsecured peer name for other peers to find, you know, other peers that are part of this mesh. So there will actually be an unsecured peer name on my machine, 0.chatchannel. You can actually look that up using netsh at the command prompt. So we'll come down here now, and we will go ahead and say that I need an IPeer channel chat client. We'll call this my chat client. And what we will do is ask the factory to create a channel. And that gives me the ability to now send messages back and forth. What's interesting about the chat client is it exposes a property of type iOnlineStatus. So I can say iOnlineStatus, like this, and I can go to my chat client. I can say, hey, can you get a property, please, of type iOnlineStatus? And what this allows me to do is actually look at a property called isOnline, and it will tell me if it's online or not. I can also subscribe to events as my client comes online and offline. So let's say I want to, you know, have something fire when I come online. We'll go ahead and wire that up. Let's go ahead and do that now for going offline. Wire that up. And I've already stubbed that out here as well. Nothing real rocket science again, just writing to the console, hey, you're online or you're offline. Pretty straightforward. Now what we're going to do is just put in a console.write real quickly, and we will say opening chat client. And to connect everything up to the mesh, we just say chat client open. And this will basically set everything up for me to be able to start to use and communicate across the mesh. Let's go ahead and put a write line in here and just say open. The reason I'm doing this is just so you can see how, you know, that there is a delay. That is a blocking call when I call open like that. And then once we're connected, and there's no error code here, obviously, but I'm just going to call logon, pass in my member name. So that will call the logon method. And then what we will do is we will just enter a loop here. And we will say string message equal to console.readline. And actually what I should do is up here, put a write, and say like that. So then we'll read in the message. Let's just do a quick check here and say if message to upper is equal to quit, then we want to break out of this loop. Otherwise, we'll use my chat client, and we will chat. We'll send my member name and the message that you typed to the console. Once you, this needs to be break. Once you exit the loop by typing quit, we need to clean everything up. So first thing we'll do is we'll use my chat client, and we will log off. So send my member name to log off. And then let's go ahead and close the chat client. And then we'll tell our factory to close as well. Again, not getting overly deep into the WCF stuff. I'm kind of, you know, glossing over that. But this is really just the core of what you need to make this application work. So if we fire this up, you'll see me get here, and I'm going to type Jeff. And so it's trying to open my chat client, so we're kind of waiting for this to run. Takes a little bit. And what's going to be really interesting about this, once it does return, is notice one thing about the online status. It shows me as joined, but you'll notice that the online status event of, you know, online never fired. And the reason is that online is a little bit of a misnomer. To me, it should be is alone, because what it really is telling you is not so much that you're online, because clearly I'm online and I've joined you know, the mesh. What it's telling me is if anyone else is also online and part of the mesh. So right now, because I'm the only person in the mesh that is online, value returns false. So let me fire up another instance here. And so this will be Bob. Let me fire this up. Get a little firewall warning there. Run it. And so now take a look here. Bob's joined. You see Bob's joined. My chat client has now come online. You can see over here my chat client is also online because there's more than one person in the mesh. So hello, Jeff. And now notice the other thing that's kind of interesting. Both windows show Bob saying, hello, Jeff, which tells you that your server, quote-unquote server, in this case the program class, processes even messages sent from your client. So that's kind of, you know, interesting that I have to worry about the fact that, you know, I'll be sending myself the message. And the way I account for that, and one way that you could do in this simple application is let's go in here and we'll just add a property, string, name, and then what we'll do is down here when we create the new program, let's go ahead and say name equal to member now. So what I can then do is drop down into these implementations and I can say if name does not equal this dot name, you know, write out that you know, message. And I won't run this again, but obviously now what will happen is I get to check every message and make sure it's not from me. No reason to display my own messages, right? So you can, again, go through and figure out different ways maybe to solve that problem based on your application. We'll take just a real quick second to talk about how the mesh is kind of created and how messages are actually sent at a very high level. So when you actually join a mesh, what happens is and we saw this a little bit in the PNRP portion earlier with the command prompt. You join the mesh, and what we do is we go and find all of the nearby nodes that are also part of the mesh. You don't have and we cache those node addresses. You don't really, you know, have connections to every peer. Basically, we have this mesh, this tree, if you will, or this graph of connections from peer to peer. So when I go to send a message, what actually happens is it's referred to as a broadcast, but in reality what happens is the message gets forwarded on to those peers that I'm directly aware of in my cache. They process the message, and then they take the message, and they forward it on to the next set of peers in the mesh. So just be aware that it's not a true broadcast. We'll talk later about things like hop counts, which can kind of limit how many rings, if you will, your message propagates out away from you at the center of the mesh. But for this point in time, just remember that it's kind of this forward until everyone gets the message inside of the mesh. And that's all we've got. So until next time, I hope you've enjoyed the series.